Ron preach about when Jesus tells us to build our house on the rock. But as the reading this evening, we will read from James 2, verse 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Hi, it's good to be here. Thank you for having us. Thank you for welcoming us again. It's been 2 years out there in the jungle since our last visit. And it really feels like a great privilege to be here, a great blessing to be here again. For those who don't know us, I'm Chris, that's my wife, Jerianne, and our oldest Sophie is with us, and we have two other kids, Aileen and Judah, they're still home. 8 years ago, God called us in our happy lives back then to become involved in missions. And since then, our lives have been changed, never been the same. One big adventure every day. 7 years ago, we moved to Indonesia, Kalimantan, to help there for a year. But now, after 7 years, we call that home and come to Europe on a holiday only. But we really feel blessed being here. Coming to Europe, England, still Europe, right? Feels entering another world. Yeah? Although we know we've lived here for many years, it feels like we're entering another world. Yeah? Coming from Indonesia, coming from the jungles of Kalimantan, we see life here is very different. And I can tell you, you are very blessed people. You are very privileged people. Walking around here, feels like everybody is so rich. we have our privileges, and we often only know it when we leave them for a while. Yeah, so we live in our lives, in our blessed lives, and often when we are away for a while, we rediscover our privileges. I think Renata and Iris had the same when they came over to us. They rediscovered their privileges living here in England. Yeah, open up the tap and having clean water, for example. Pick what you can eat, not rice and vegetables every day, stuff like that. Those are privileges. Yeah, and we get used to it when we experience them for a longer time. We get used to our privileges. So I just want to remind you, you're very, very privileged people here in England. And in Holland as well. Indonesia has its privileges as well. When we go back in a few weeks' time, we don't need to worry about all these traffic rules and fasten your seat belts and only fit 7 people in one car and stuff like that. We have a family of 16 kids and our own 3 plus 2, and we all fit in one car. When inside is full, we continue on top of the car, and we just add another 15 on top. So that's no problem at all. Another privilege is living in Living Waters Village. We live in a village with Christians, yeah, with all followers of Christ. And that is a real privilege, living with so many Christians together, with the same purpose, same goal, same belief. Okay, tonight I want to encourage all of you, and I'm encouraging myself as well as I stand here. It might be a bit radical, but I like that. I think Jesus liked that as well, to be a bit radical in life with our decisions and the things we do. I'd like to start with sharing a bit and talking a bit about Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus preaching on the Mount. We're not going to read it all. We're just going to go through it very quickly. It starts with the blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who hunger. It's talking about the salt and the light, fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, an eye for an eye. Jesus is preaching on the Christian topics, Christian life topics, and then he's telling a few times, talking about these topics. He says, you have heard that, it was said. So the people, this was not news for them, but Jesus was preaching, and he added some Jesus into these topics. Yeah, and that's how these topics, these Christian life situations, became life-changing, because he added some things to it. We all know it, and that's, I don't want to spend too much time on all the topics. It's about prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven. Do not worry. Ask, seek the fruits, good fruits, bad fruits. And there's this whole crowd surrounding Jesus, and he's preaching, and they're all listening to him. And then he gets to the end of his sermon, and then he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. No, he didn't say that. He said, who builds his house on the rock. And then the rain comes down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. And then he continues, but everyone who listens, who hears these words of mine, but does not put them in practice, is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And those were the last words of his most famous sermon, and it fell with a great crash. And when we prepare our sermons, we try to end with something to think about, something people bring with them and are encouraged by, to bring with them going home, be empowered, be encouraged. And Jesus ends his sermon, and it fell with a great crash. 2 weeks ago, I was in Lombok. We heard about all the earthquakes And we got a phone call from our mission partners there with a cry for help. We need your help. So we made a team, six of us, a doctor, some mechanics, engineers, and we hopped in the airplane, traveled for 24 hours. Although it's nearby, it's long travels in Indonesia. Got there Saturday night, hired a car Sunday morning, and drove into the area of disaster. It was only 10 minutes from the place where we stayed, and it all came down with a great crash in that area. There were whole villages gone. All the houses were gone. It's 400,000 people homeless. 400,000 people. It's a population of 3.1 million on Lombok. 400,000 of them do not have a home till today. We entered the villages and we saw what happened, and we felt hopeless for the people. We felt, what can we do? Where do you start? There was just one big pile of rocks and ruins. The people were sitting on top of it and just waiting and not knowing what to do. Half of the population was still up in the mountain, and the women and the children, they were still scared of the tsunami, which was announced to come. Of course, it didn't come anymore, but the people were still very scared and didn't want to come down. We felt hopeless for the people. How must they have felt, and how do they still feel today? We were able to help a few people. We were only there for 6 days. We were planning to start rebuilding and making plans of quick set houses to make many of them, but we didn't got there. It was only helping them clean up some of the stuff. It was very, very hopeless situation. But it was a great opportunity for us missionaries to go into the area. It's a 99% Muslim community, very difficult to minister to these people. We were told we couldn't use the name Jesus, we were not allowed to pray for the people. But we took these magazines, these comic books about Isa al-Masih, which is Jesus in the Quran. And we were able to hand them out, and we did definitely pray with some people, although we were not allowed to. So it was a great opportunity for sowing in this community. We don't know what it will do, and we should continue praying for the people of Lombok, because this is it's a big disaster still going on. I'm not suggesting that these people are the foolish people where Jesus was talking about, because their houses did collapse. And I don't think Jesus was talking about houses. Yeah, I think we all understand that Jesus is talking about our spiritual life, our faith. And where do we build our faith on? Is our faith built on the rock, which is Jesus? Or is our faith built on sand, loose sand? There's two types of builders, those who build on loose sand and those who build on the rock. Yeah, and the Bible is full of metaphors of building. Yeah, how do we build? We build. There's many metaphors about building. And a foundation is a crucial part of the building. We do lots of building in Living Waters. We do lots of building. And we don't have any engineers around. My background is hotel management, but I'm designing the buildings in Living Waters, you believe it or not. But for walls and roofs, it's not so important. But foundations and the drawings of foundations, I always send to an engineer just to make sure it's right. Yeah? It's a crucial part of the building. Foundation have to be right. Okay. It sets the limit for what can be built on it. Yeah, it's the same with our foundation for our faith. It sets the limit for what we can build on it. Jesus is talking here about the rock. Not a rock, he's actually talking about himself. The rock. That's not Dwayne Johnson, it's the rock. Jesus Christ, the rock. But what I would like to talk about tonight is, we're talking about this foundation, Jesus Christ, our foundation. It's really about us knowing Jesus, which is our faith. Yeah, us knowing Jesus, having this relationship with Jesus. Yeah, it's not only knowing him, but it's having a relationship with him. So we really know him and we can talk with him. We can share with him and we do everything with Jesus. And that's what our faith should be based on. Yeah, this personal relationship with Jesus, the rock. And what we just heard Jesus sharing is, everyone who hears these words of mine, the teachings, and puts them into practice is like a wise man building his house on the rock. It's not just hearing where he's talking about. It's not just knowing, having this knowledge. It's putting it into practice, which is building our faith. That is how we build our faith on the foundation, the rock. I would like to read a verse from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I'll read it for you. It's in NIV. It's Paul also using this metaphor of building. And Paul talking to the Corinthians and said, 1 Corinthians 3, 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert building, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, this is the foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ. And we continue building on it. Yeah, our faith builds on this foundation, Jesus Christ. We all need this personal relation with Jesus. Yeah? It's not good enough to come to church and hear about Jesus. We need to know him personally, so that we, our life, our faith, has this foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. And our lives will never be the same after that. Like Darren said this morning, because you are connected to Christ, things are different. Yeah? We are not the same again. You are not normal. We are not normal. We shouldn't be normal. Don't try to be normal. I agree with that. Don't try to be normal. We are not. Our lives are never the same after an encounter with Jesus Christ. But Jesus is also talking about knowledge, putting our knowledge into practice. How do we put our knowledge into practice? I think the book of James almost didn't make it into the Bible with the Reformation and Luther, where he said, sola gratia, by grace alone, and I totally agree with that. So we need to know the order of importance, yeah, with faith and works. I'm not telling here that we are not saved without our works. Yeah? We are saved because of Jesus, because of his grace. But faith is what we believe, and works and our deeds is what we do with what we believe. And it's like what we just read in James 2. Faith without works is dead. If we don't put in practice what we hear, then our faith is dead. And that is a bit radical, like I said. If we don't put in practice what we know, then our faith is dead. So it's not we're doing works to get saved. It's because of our faith, our living faith in Jesus, we are pushed to do what we know. We are pushed and we are constantly encouraged. And by Jesus, our foundation and our God, we are constantly pushed by that faith to put in practice what we know. Okay. And I think everybody who is teaching or has a teaching degree or a teacher at school can agree with, it's not only learning, it's not only knowledge. Yeah? Knowledge, putting in practice, is actually adding empathy. Yeah, we understand what we know because we do it. And that is growing our faith. We are participating in what we know and what we've learned from God. But why? Why are we called to put it in practice? Why isn't it just enough to know? I'd just like to share a little story about one of our guys. He moved into our house a few months ago. His name is Lucas. If you've read our newsletter, you know about him. He's a guy, before he came to our place, he worked in a gold mine. He was a young guy. He worked there since he was ages old, I guess, very young. And they used these little boys because the holes going into the mine are literally this big. So only a child fits in there. So they go under, down, under in the ground. It's 20, 30, 40 meters under the ground and start digging, looking for gold. So that was his life. Okay, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, looking for gold. He got a meal every day and he got some water every day. And that was his life. So he was 10 years old. No parents to take care of him. And that was his life. And that is pretty hopeless for a little child to have a life like that. But thank God he's with us now. We found him and we asked his family if he could come with us and live with us. And he's with us now for over a year now. He lives in our ministry. And last month, 2 months ago, he moved into our house. And he's going to school. He's working on his future. Every morning we start praying and reading the Word. And he's learning lots about Jesus Christ, his foundation. And I'm telling you this story just to compare his life with yours. Okay, just see your situation here now, today. And like I said, we are privileged people. We are blessed people. God is blessing you and me. If we compare our lives to, for example, Lucas, and that is just one guy, yeah, one story, we are not here today in our situation just to sit in church and receive. We don't receive all the blessings we receive for nothing. There is a purpose. God is blessing us for something. And I believe God is not blessing you and me just for us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand that there is a purpose here, that God is calling us to start putting in practice what He is teaching us through His Word, through His teachings. We are blessed and privileged people, and there is a reason for that. So don't stay in your comfort zone and only come to church and listen and receive and agree and add knowledge and say, yes, I believe, and yes, that is true. Start putting it into practice. Because if you don't, your faith is dead. And all the blessings you're enjoying today is for nothing. God is blessing us for a purpose. God is blessing us and giving us this opportunity and giving us opportunities every day to go out and make sure we are the light of this world. I'm talking about Lucas, but there are as many people here in Chelmsford as well, as hopeless as Lucas was, because they don't know Jesus Christ. There is as hopeless as Lucas was that day when he was still working in the mines. Lucas's life has a purpose now, not only because he has a meal, three meals a day, and he lives in a nice place, and he goes to school. His life has a purpose now because he is able to build his foundation on Jesus, the rock, and he knows Jesus. And that's why his life has purpose now. So here in Chelmsford as well, there is many, many people out there waiting for you to change their lives. And we're all in a privileged position, and I'm sure we all have opportunities every day to make a difference in people's lives. On Thursday evening, I was talking with Darren and just sharing some stories about missionaries and stories we heard, how people come to Christ. And really, it's the people who did amazing things, they didn't even know they were doing it. They were just being obedient. And just bring out some, there's many stories, I'm not going to tell them now. The truck with Bibles and this and that, and how people come to Christ. It's because of you and me stepping out in faith, stretching our faith, putting in practice what Jesus teaches us. Obedience, our obedience, always results in blessing other people. If we are obedient to God's word, if we are obedient to His calling, if we are obedient to the opportunities He gives us every day in the small things, very small things, it's always resulting in a blessing for others. Living Waters is because people have been obedient to a vision, to a calling, which was so big no one would ever want to start doing it. But because of obedience of missionaries back then, Living Waters is what it is today. And it's a blessing to many people. And automatically as well, if we are not obedient to what God is asking us to do, it directly results in people missing out. So our obedience is a direct blessing to other people. If we are not obedient, if we are disobedient to God's calling, then that is directly meaning that others will miss out. And last week, Sunday, we were still in Living Waters, and we in church we did a call for workers in our new Living Waters base. We're opening up a new base far into the jungle, on the edge of civilization, and it's a 1.5 days travel to get to this base. We're planning to purchase a piece of land there and put some buildings there, and from there we want to push our church planting mission. We already have two guys living there. Two of our boys, we sent them to school, and they are church planters now in the area over there, Jakob and Tijar. They're fresh from school, but they're very excited to start churches there. Very difficult. Living Wadis is in the middle of the jungle, but this place is in the middle of nowhere. There's no signal, you can leave your phone home. There's no traffic, there's only a boat which brings you there, which is one day sitting in a boat. It's hardly any stuff coming through. Everything needs to be transported there by boat. Very, very tough area. We want to open up a base there, so from there we can send church planters deeper into the jungle, into the very remote areas. So we pick a place on the edge, yeah, kind of. So that's the best place to put a base. So last week we asked in church all our youth and kids sitting there, about 500 people, and we explained that we're opening up this base, and we asked who wants to live there. Who wants to give up his position here, his place, his nice and comfortable life, his three nice meals every day? Who wants to give up? And who wants to move to that base? And a few hands went up. Yeah, a few hands, a few of our guys, a few of our teachers, some couples. They said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. That's stretching faith. That is putting steps in faith. Because there's nothing yet there. Yeah? But these people were already ready to go. And ready to put in practice what Jesus is telling us to do. And I was very proud seeing that our guys, really, there are a few who are really ready. These are not the church planters. These will be the people manning the base there and running a school, a little school maybe, and some ashrama, some houses for the kids to come and live there. So that is stretching your faith. That is stretching our faith, putting steps to something we don't know. Yeah, coming out of our comfort zone and giving up what we have, our comfortable lives, give it up and move to another place. Yeah, where these guys come from, is a very poor situation. Yeah, many of our kids, they come from very poor situations. They live now in our place, yeah, a good accommodation, good meals, but they are ready to, and they are willing to give that up to again start living in another place without all these blessings and to become a blessing to others. So that's an inspiration for me. I hope it's an inspiration for you as well to put steps in faith and to understand that our blessed life, our privileges are here. We've got them for a reason. When we started Living Waters. I wasn't there when Living Waters started. But our schools are running now for some time, and a few years ago we were in need of a head of our school. Tough job, lots of responsibilities. We didn't really had someone who was capable of doing it. But we were thinking of a few guys, and we had a primary school, a junior high, and a senior high, and we called them all, and we said, we want you to become our head teachers, headmasters, so there's a bit of structure in what we're doing there. One of the guys was already head of all the schools, so he was very happy. He wasn't head of all the schools anymore, but just the primary school. And the other two, we asked them, we want you to become head of school. And both of them said, I don't want to do it. I cannot do it. I'm not capable of doing it. I have no time to do it. And the stress and all the responsibilities, please, I don't want to do it. I cannot. And then we told them and said, that's exactly where we want you to be. That you know that you cannot do it. And we totally agree with you that you are not capable of it. You cannot do it. But that's where we want you to be, to understand that you are not capable of doing it. So that once you start doing it, once you set a step in faith and you stretch your faith, and you'll see God will work through you, and that every result of the work you're doing is glorifying God. Because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it. It's the same with many plans we make in Living Waters Village. Last month we made plans of building an airstrip. It's impossible if you think about it. We're in the middle of the jungle and we're building an airstrip on top of a mountain. If you see the site, you will just laugh. That's impossible. Where does the money come from? We don't have the money. But we believe that this is part of the vision, and we believe we need to start doing it now. So we start making plans, making drawings, and we start doing it. So everything as a result from now on is not because of us, because we have loads of money or good engineers or whatever. It's God working through us. Yeah? We can make steps in faith so that God starts working through us, and that all the glory is to God from the results of our works. God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder to those who are seriously looking for His guidance. God will reward if you make steps in faith. If you are willing to stretch your faith, God will reward. God's looking for people who are available. Yeah, available. What that means for you, I don't know. It could mean that the very busy schedule you have is already fully planned. That's very literally. Are you available? When are you available for God? There are so many opportunities every day. But the question is, are we available? Are we willing to make a step in faith and make a difference in people's lives? And God works through us mightily. God's work is not small works. God's works are mighty works and can be very impressive often. When I saw the vision of Living Water 7 years ago, it impressed me big time, and I couldn't believe it. And I actually was I didn't believe that it would happen. But we're in the middle of it now, and it's just so exciting to see how God works through people who are just willing, who are available and willing to make steps in faith every day, because we believe what God's going to do. If you can't make an impact in many people's lives, just start making an impact in one person's life. Yeah? Like we went to Lombok, we didn't impact 400,000 people's lives. We only saw five families. We only met one Christian. Yeah? So don't think big all the time. We can make a difference in the small things. Today, Living Waters is a growing ministry. It's fruiting, it's expanding, and every week new kids come to the Lord. Every week we can receive new kids who don't know Jesus, and they have lots of opportunities to get to know Him. And Living Waters really is a miracle zone, and it's growing, and it's giving hope to so many hopeless people. But it's not the work of people. It's not the work of missionaries. It's God's work. It's all the glory is to God. It's people who are willing to come there, to spend time there, and willing to make steps in faith and let God work through them. And often when new missionaries come to our place, they say, I can do this and I can do that. I can paint and I can sew. I had a talk this morning. Good, very good. But we are not really looking for people who can do this and who can do that. We want people who are willing to stretch their faith, and who are willing to make a step in faith, and willing to be available. Many missionaries came to our place, and they found it very difficult because of a different agenda, maybe a different idea, a different vision. And that's how we come back to our foundation. We need to build our foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. Because when we have a strong foundation, we can build on it. Jesus doesn't promise us a stormless life. But building a foundation on Jesus, the rock, is a storm-proof life. The storm will come. We've had lots of storms in the last 2 years. It has been difficult, serving God. And many times we said, we stop. We don't do it anymore. But then you come back to your foundation. After a night's sleep, you can zoom out a bit and know why you are there. But you can't do this, and you can't step out in faith, and you can't do anything. You can't say, I'm ready, I'm willing, if there is not this foundation on Jesus the rock. Okay, so build your foundation on Jesus. Make steps in faith. Be ready, be available, and God will work mightily through us. And when He does that, the glory is not for us, because we can't do it. All the glory is to God. Let us pray. Father, You are a good God, and You know us, Lord, and You know what's best for us. And that's why You shared so many things, Jesus, when You were here on earth, and all Your teachings, Lord God, and Your encouragement, Father, to put things in practice, Lord. Father, we thank You that You know what we need, and that is You, Father, the foundation, the rock, the never-changing and never shaking rock, Father. If we build our lives on You, Lord, there's mighty things You're doing through us. And Father, I pray that we every day realize that we need You in everything we do, Lord God. That every day we start the day, we can start with You, our rock, Lord God. And we want to say we are available. We are waiting for these things to happen, Father. When we go out, Lord, work through us. Make us the light. Make us the soul of this earth, Lord Jesus. For so many people here in this area as well are still hopeless. They don't know You, Father. So help us to make a change in these people's lives, Lord God, by showing who You are. Lord, help us to understand how we can be available for Your work, Lord God. Keep us strong when the storm comes. Lord God, keep our eyes focused on You when these difficult times come, Father. We need You, and we thank You that You are there, our stronghold, Lord Jesus. Thank You for tonight, that we were able to be here together and hear from Your word, Father, and let it be a blessing for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.